welcome to The Grace Hour, a daily program that takes a dive into the believer's daily challenges and helps him learn his faith in a practical way. My name is Jasmine Field, and I am joined with my wonderful co-host, Miss Michelle Benoit, in the studio.
Thank you.
Today, we are so thrilled. We're going to be talking about God's thoughts towards mental health. And Michelle, I think this is a very needed topic to discuss, to shed light on, to apply God to, and even just to share our own experiences of how God has said, no matter what you're going through, I am a loving God. I do not judge. And it's okay that you're frail. It's okay that you're feeble. I know how I've made you, and I want you depending on me 100%.
So good.
Yeah, it's been awesome even preparing for this. But I know you have a couple of things you'd like to share before we jump in. So we'd love to hear from you too.
All right. Well, let's just start with a general definition. Of course, I went to the CDC just to make sure everyone's on the same platform.
Absolutely.
Mental health includes our emotional, psychological, and social well-being,
mm-hmm.
how we act, think, and feel. It helps determine how we handle stress.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody have any stress in the past month?
Daily stress, you mean? Yes.
Returning mm-hmm. Christmas presents that someone didn't like?
Oh, did you do that?
Oh, yeah. You have no idea. Well, poor mental health and the term mental illness are used interchangeably, but they're not the same.
Mm-hmm.
All right. A
mm-hmm.
person can experience poor mental health for a season and
yes.
not be diagnosed with a mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
Likewise, a person who is diagnosed with a mental illness can experience days of well-being.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So let's look at what causes mental illness. And again, I'm just right on the CDC page. I'm not an expert on mental health, so I went to the internet, of course. Early life circumstances, trauma,
yes.
abuse,
mm-hmm.
Witnessing violence.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we understand that it would be hard to process.
Mm-hmm.
This surprised me. Chronic medical conditions like cancer or diabetes.
Oh, wow.
Now, we think diabetes is just simply a blood sugar thing.
Mm-hmm.
No, people with diabetes are 2 to 3 more times likely to experience depression.
Wow.
I did not know that.
It's a lot of management after a certain point in the diagnosis. So I could see that. You know, it's a constant reminder of how much outside help your body needs from now on. So I could see that being very yeah. burdensome.
And I guess just the blood. The chemical change in the blood, mm-hmm. how it affects the brain.
Yes.
That brings us into the third one, biological or chemical imbalances in the
yes.
brain.
Now, yes.
Now, for that, you're going to need medication.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, we mm-hmm. understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But also, this can be brought on by alcohol or drug use.
Yes, definitely. Different types of chemicals,
yes.
right? Yes.
That
mm-hmm.
we're ingesting, some people willy-nilly.
Mm-hmm.
Be careful what you put in your mouth, I've
but, you know,
said
the,
to my kids.
The two are connected, you know, because right. maybe I'm experiencing an issue with the status of my mental health. I am trying to look for something, or I'm running to something just for that temporary relief.
Sure.
And I think it's important for us to make sure that we are not sitting on a judgment seat as soon as we oh. see somebody struggling outward with this, because there's always a story about how it got there to that moment where you're seeing it.
Sure.
And it's very easy to say, well, since I'm not in that position and I could never see myself getting in that position, then I get to judge this person. And it's absolutely wrong. You know,
yeah.
God knows that we are made from dust,
mm-hmm.
you know, and
sure.
he's definitely designed us to have our sufficiency in him.
Sure.
So if there's somebody even that is a believer and they are struggling, you can still bring God into the situation by praying for them, mm-hmm. by praying with them, and not so much trying to be the changing agent, because you're not God. You're not. But sometimes it is hard for you to see someone that you truly care about battling a mental health issue.
Sure.
You want to do all that you can.
Sure.
But it's God whose hand makes the transformation, or even blesses the whole situation, blesses the tone of something that could be causing a lot of turmoil in you
sure.
as the person that loves them, you know?
2020 brought a big increase to feelings of loneliness and isolation.
Mm.
We watched a Netflix comedy special the other night, and the guy kept saying, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me?
Oh my gosh.
And it got to be, it was a funny thing, you know, something is wrong with me. And then he'd make it funny, like a little throwaway that he kept returning to. But it was an emotional revelation. And he meant it this way about what feelings of isolation and alienation do to you.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. I think about people that have maybe been alone for long periods of time. And one of the things that we're always susceptible to when we are by ourselves is a lot of internal thinking, a lot of introspection. Everyone battles this. And I think one of the things that we have to really be careful of, Michelle, is making sure that yes, even though there are specific terminologies and degrees of mental health problems, all of us experience some sort of brokenness or downcastness regarding our own mental thoughts more than one time in our life.
Absolutely.
Because there is sin in our life, because we have relationships with people, because we don't think with the mind of God, you know? And that's really important, you know, that there shouldn't be this big amount of shame like, oh, something's wrong with my faith because I feel like I'm in a weaker mental state. Be in that weaker mental state and call on the name of God to be your strength rather than trying to pull yourself up.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, doctors are treating people for anxiety, depression, panic attacks. Raise your hand if you've ever had a panic attack. Yes, I have had several. Schizophrenia, PTSD, dementia.
Yes.
Postpartum depression, obsessive compulsive disorder.
Yes.
How many times do I clean my kitchen sink? Don't ask. All right. Phobias.
Oh my gosh,
you know,
yes.
All of these can have a debilitating effect on the person suffering and their loved ones.
Yes.
But there's nothing new about mental illness. Just because we're defining things, just because the book, sitting on the psychologist's desk is getting thicker and thicker. There's nothing new. It was present in ancient times, and the Bible references several cases. Let's talk about King Saul. The first king of Israel was a longtime sufferer of mental distress, but even before he became king, he was caught in this trap of trying to please people.
Yes.
Oh, who's looking at me? You know, what are people thinking? What's happening here?
Yeah.
Pleasing people isn't a mental illness, but when we engage in it, we're overly concerned with the outward.
Oh, definitely.
Trying to earn people's approval and maintain a relationship.
You know, it's interesting you say that, because as you were talking, one of the things, because I did my own definition as well, just making sure we were on the same page.
Good.
And one of the mental health issues that a lot of people battle that they wouldn't think would really have a big hold on them is perfectionism.
Oh, sure.
I mean, it's huge.
I'm glad you mentioned that.
And there's a difference between wanting to do your best and having a standard for yourself. I'm very much like this. I'm either all in something or I'm not. And if it's not the way that I think it should be, I'm very unsatisfied with it. But at the same time, I also realize, how can I do things perfectly all the time if I'm a broken person?
Oh, good point.
Very impossible. So yes, having this standard of I want to put my all in and I want my put my heart into it, that's totally fine. But being gripped by, just like you said, what if I am seen? If this is wrong, people are going to point a finger at me and they're going to say that I am low or something's wrong with me.
Yes.
You know, you are the focal point. And I love that Pastor Schaller has been speaking against this so much this month. Christ should be the focal point for your identity and for your thoughts.
So good. People with the messiest houses often suffer from perfectionism. And again, I will raise my hand and confess. Because I had a perfectionist streak that was a mile wide, and it led to paralysis.
Oh, my
gosh. So because I didn't either know how to do something perfectly or didn't think I would have enough time, I did nothing.
Yes.
And the house piled and piled and piled.
That's the fear.
Now I set the timer for 15 minutes. Okay, girl, what can you get done in 15? Okay, what can you get done while you're waiting for the tea water to boil? Oh, you can wipe the sink out. That's what I'm really good at doing.
I'm trying. I've done the same kind of exercises, but then I end up going like 10 minutes past the timer. And I'm like, you know what? This is who I am. Okay.
Well, in 1 Samuel 13, Saul goes ahead and gives the sacrifice, not waiting for Samuel, because he's worried that the people are going to leave, you know, and yeah, we get it. We can relate to that. Going too far to please people will leave you stressed, depleted, and anxious. For Saul, it spirals into what we would call today clinical depression,
mm-hmm.
and the hostility that can result. A person who's depressed is not always sitting in their bed with the covers over their head.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they're angry and hostile.
Yes.
He tried to kill David on several occasions. And what was the reason he was so hyper-focused on David? That songs, mm-hmm. you know, that was playing on the radio. Saul has killed his thousands, mm-hmm. but David, his 10,000.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, rejection by others.
Yes.
We have
this
tripod of needs. It's called the ABC tripod. Okay. Accept it or not, it's okay.
ABCs.
Psychological term.
Okay.
Acceptance, belonging, and competence.
Wow.
That's what we often strive for.
Wow.
When only one of them suffer, the tripod tips and it can cause depression.
My goodness.
But God evaluates us. We are accepted mm-hmm. in the beloved.
Yes.
All right?
Yes.
Belonging. We belong to the body of Christ, the family of Christ, just because you show up. You're my sister.
Right.
Just because you show up.
Right.
And as far as competence, oh, good Lord. Whatever I have from the grace of
yes,
God.
Yes. Yes.
Right?
Absolutely. Wow. I love that because, you know, a simple principle that we overlook as Christians is that the reason why we have these scriptures available to us is because God foresaw that we were going to be going through these mental stages.
Sure.
And there's even an article that I read that points out, no, the word depression is not necessarily in every translation of the Bible, but there are words like downcast, brokenhearted, troubled. These pictures are for us to see you are not the only one to go through a mental burden. You are not the only one who has said, Lord, I'm in a place in my life that I didn't expect to be in. Or maybe I'm back here. You know, I'm back here and I'm ashamed.
Yes.
And I need your courage helping me to call on your name once again.
Very good. You know, Psalm 23, mm-hmm. the psalm that, you know, we memorize, we hear it even on TV. He makes me, verse 2, to lie down in green pastures.
Yes.
He leads me beside still waters.
Mm-hmm.
He restores my soul.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that means my soul was a mess.
Right, exactly.
And it needed restoration.
Right.
And it's okay. And green pastures,
mm-hmm.
Taking our nourishment from healthy places through our eye gate, through our ear gate.
Yes.
Still waters.
Mm-hmm.
My gosh, get off the phone. Get off Instagram.
Yes.
Let things be still.
And I'm sure you've heard even people say in those instances, you know what, I'm taking a break from Facebook. I'm taking a break from Instagram. And you know what? It's been wonderful. I'm actually paying attention to people when I'm in front of them. I actually have relationship with people. I'm not comparing myself as much. And you know, there are some people who I think are a little bit against that. You should have enough strength in your identity that you can look at anything or be a part of anything and not feel broken.
Oh, I don't.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't either. And a lot of people, I think, who say they do are not really telling the truth because that's the whole reason those things are so influential. They are trying to retrain your mindset and get you more and more addicted to being on that screen.
Sure.
And it's not the same as having the alive word of God going in your heart and taking root. Not that anything is wrong with, you know, social media. You know, I'm on social media, but I know that there has to be a boundary. And I think that's wisdom that all of us should use, especially as believers, not trying to mix in the world's culture with what God is trying to do in our lives.
So good.
Yeah.
Now, do these things, mental illness or mental stress or poor mental health, only happen to people who are at risk? I mean, can we make a case that people who are rich, people who are successful, people who are intelligent don't suffer?
I think it's people who are people.
Yeah.
That's who I think it is. That's my understanding.
Do you know the well-educated suffer more?
You know what? I believe it.
Yep.
I believe it because they have so many images that they have to uphold. So behind the scenes is probably so dark, but it seeps out. You know, when I see some of these magazine covers and this person's body is beautiful, but they're on their seventh marriage.
Oh my.
I'm like, you know what? It's because you're not receiving proper teaching about how to even have a regular relationship.
True.
How happy can you be beyond the flash of this camera? You know?
Oh, wow.
It makes me feel so sorry.
Yep.
You know?
Well, becoming the first king of Israel,
mm-hmm.
being the tall, dark, and handsome guy that Saul was, you know, did not fill up his cup.
Mm.
you know, because there's the fear, who's going to take this away from me?
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's another mental crisis in 1 Kings 19 with Elisha. He had this incredible victory on Mount Carmel. Unbelievable, you know, long time goal.
Yeah.
You know, Yahweh is proven to be the true God. The people have come to his side, worshiping God. The Baal prophets, 450 of them, are all put to death. But a victory and a long term success finally coming to fruition is a mountaintop experience, but watch out for the valley. All right. A wedding.
Yes.
You think, oh my gosh, I'm going to be so happy after we get married. You know, I'm going to be so happy after I have this baby.
Yes.
And in both, okay, I'm comparing Mount Carmel to a wedding and having a baby. Just go with me here.
I think it's good. I think it's good. You know, we just have these perceptions of what we think it's going to be like. And that's really what the disconnect is.
Yep.
I'm putting so much into this big transition that I'm starting to replace God.
Yep.
And then when it comes back into the reality of, oh, I need to apply him here too. In a really big way, it's so sobering for us. And then we don't know what to do because our mind was so fixated on, it's not going to be like that.
Yes.
It's not going to be like that. And then when it's really like that, we're like, Lord, Lord, please help.
Yep. Well, in the valley for Elijah was Jezebel. All right. He had expended so much mental, physical, spiritual energy.
Yes.
You know, praying for that rain to come. It finally comes running down the mountain and beating King Ahab. This is crazy.
Wow.
You know, in his horse-drawn chariot.
Mm-hmm.
But now, really, if Jezebel had wanted Elijah dead, she would have just had him killed.
Mm-hmm.
She's trying to stop a movement. She's a clever girl. She wants this movement to be discredited. All these new converts have left Baal worship. They're worshiping God again. And if she can just get rid of him, discredit him, you know, and it works. It works beautifully. He takes his eyes off the Lord, becomes fearful, and runs.
Right.
Runs like a rabbit.
Right.
Leaves his servant, his companion, continues another day's journey into the desert. This is in the southernmost part of Judah. Crawls under a scrubby tree and asks God to kill him. He's exhausted in the wilderness, alone, with no food and water.
Yes. And you know, some people can look at that and say, gosh, Elijah, where is your faith? Even if something huge is coming against you, you are Elijah and this is God. But I love this illustration, Michelle, because it's so indicative of the fact that no matter who you are or how you've been called, you reach points where you're uncertain and you just need rest and comfort and reiteration of how God thinks towards you.
So good. Mental health crises can happen to anyone. They're often triggered by loss or pain, some kind of challenge. If you read 1 Kings 18, Elijah's on top of the mountain. 1 Kings 19, he's under a bush. You know, 1 Kings 18 ends with the hand of the Lord was on Elijah.
Yes.
It's incredible.
Yes.
But even with past successes, you can still become like Elijah, fearful, exhausted, and depressed.
Yes.
Does God care about his emotional well-being? I guess at that point, God said, oh, fine, forget it. You're disqualified.
You know, I had a teacher tell me once within our ministry, when I was going through a really hard time, she said, when you don't know what to do, do what you know.
Oh, that's beautiful.
You know God loves you. You know his word is true. And even if you are digging in there and you feel like everything is repelling off of your heart, you keep reading that truth out loud. You keep telling yourself beyond your emotions, this is the truth. This is the mind of God. And I think that we have to remember that because, especially as women, our emotions start talking to us and then a new reality forms. I mean, it's just the truth. Now, I'm not saying this doesn't happen to men as well, but because of how we're designed, I think that's why we have to keep making sure we have ongoing fellowship with God.
Yes.
Because we can kind of run away, you know, with our thoughts. And all of a sudden we are living in a reality that maybe is halfway there. And maybe there's these mixtures of what I want it to be, what I fear it being, what I wish it was. And we have to speak what we know into the situation.
Excellent point. Well, he goes and he falls asleep.
Yes.
Elijah. Yes. He wakes up. There's a fire.
Yep.
And there's a cake And a cruise of water. I know, it says bread in some translations.
You're such a mom, Michelle.
I am all about the cake.
Yes.
All right? I'm all about the cake. You know, God gave him, rewarded him with angelic attention, rest, cake, people, cake, and water.
Yes.
He gets up, he drinks, and he travels.
Yes.
Physical activity. People who are depressed need to move their bodies.
Yes.
You know?
Absolutely.
Food, water, rest, move your body. And then he comes to a cave, he spends the night, and the word of the Lord comes to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? Well, sometimes we need a change of scenery.
Yes. Definitely. Oh, definitely.
I've read that people in England frequently leave the cities where it's cold and wet and damp and cloudy and go to the ocean, go to the seaside. A change of scenery. I don't know. That salt air can just refresh you, even if you just go for a weekend or a day.
Yeah, I think when you're around what God has made, it speaks to you in a more personal way. You know, even I remember last summer, I hosted a nature camp on our property, and it was amazing to tie in all of the ways that we could be applying God's creation to learning and to getting to know each other and just understanding that God has all these dimensions to his mind, and he doesn't want us to limit ourselves. You know, if you need to go be by the water, be by the water. That's from me. If you need to go and just feel the rays of the sunshine on your face, that's from me. You know, I was reading a devotional inside of this book, which I highly recommend. It's called God is My Hiding Place by Corrie ten Boom.
Oh.
And she was actually speaking about being in a concentration camp and how she felt such despair, utter hopelessness. I mean, the screams of things that she heard, she says it's like it was being in a portion of hell on the daily basis. And she said when she was in her cell one day, she felt so heavy on her heart. And then she noticed this little sun ray was starting to pierce through the little window she had. And she said she ran up to it and she just let the sun beam all over her face as a way to fellowship with the Lord and remember that in him, even in a situation like the one she was in, which all of us don't even battle a situation to that degree, but we can feel like that in our mind. We need to remember to reunite with God however we can in the darkness. He's not looking at you and wagging a finger saying, how come you're in that darkness? You know? And I love this illustration about Elijah as well. The first thing God said was not, I cannot believe you are here. What are you doing here? I have spoken to you. I have used you. We know each other. What are you doing here? I love what you're saying. He fed him. He let him rest. He comforted him. And then slowly this dialogue started about what's really going on in your heart.
That is so good. But I love that God has spiritual accountability.
Yes.
He's not going to let this slide without addressing it. Because we let things slide and they fester.
Oh, definitely.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
And we have the wrong perspective. And Elijah replies, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, put your prophets to death with a sword. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill him too. Kill me too. And the Lord comes out with a powerful wind and an earthquake and a fire. I think the Lord is like, can I get your attention here, honey? Do you know who you're talking to?
Yes, yes.
And then he hears the still small voice. And then God says the exact same words again. What are you doing here? But then what I notice now is Elijah says the exact same thing in verse 14. I've been very zealous. They've done this, torn down your altars. I am the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me too. Have you ever had a script?
Oh my gosh.
In your mind?
There's a replay button. Replay button.
Yeah.
Yes. And it can be visual. It can be the whole reliving of the experience. It's dangerous.
Yes.
It is so dangerous.
Yes.
It can be quite joyful if it was something great that happened. But when it was not so great, oh my, it's like someone's talking to you. You're not even there because you're just so offended. Or, you know, you can be so heartbroken. You know, it's something we really do. I think everyone does this, quite honestly.
Yes.
And it really works against ourselves. And I love what you're saying about that accountability, because even I remember being postpartum with my son. And, you know, the big idea when you first have your first baby is that, you know, your dreams kind of get shattered.
shattered a little
what?
Bit.
Really, you know? Jasmine? No.
They did. And it wasn't that I wasn't excited. It's just, like we had said before, it was not going the way I thought it was going to go.
According to the movies and TV shows that you've seen.
You know, and, you know, of course, a lot of moms are sharing their own experiences with me, you know, intentionally trying to build me up. But it's making this concept, you know, derive in my mind. And then when it's like, I cannot feed you, I am not sleeping, I am hungry, this is not the rocking chair moment that the movies display, you know, I really had to understand. And that's when I went back to the do what you know. I said, God, I have to keep my hand somehow in the body. I have to. If my life becomes this baby only, I am setting myself up for disaster, because you did not design my relationship with you to only be having a ministry to him and for him to be somebody that takes up so much of my time that I am no longer relational, I'm no longer reachable, and I'm not thinking any higher than what his needs are. And I loved being able to come to lunch wraps, and I was part of Silver Spring at the time doing so many events, and I modified what I was doing instead of just cutting it out. But that's what your emotions say. Just throw your hands up. Life is different now. You will never get to a point of peace anymore. But I kept trying to stick to that truth. If somebody is expecting me at this lunch wrap every Tuesday or every Wednesday, that's good for me. That's good for me to know somebody is looking for me. It's good for me to go hear the word, even if I only get 10, 15 minutes in my heart. Being around the presence of the body, so important. And I would actually encourage, it sounds crazy, Michelle, I know it sounds crazy, but I would encourage every new mom to somehow connect herself with an aspect of ministry as soon as she kind of gets a handle on, okay, I've had this baby and it's going in this direction. How can I help with something within the church? How can I help one of the leaders? I need to have something pulling me out of this mindset that wants to be heavy on me during my postpartum, saying, your life is now within this box and so God cannot reach you here.
So good.
You know, I think about Jude 21 that says, stay always within the boundaries where God's love can reach and bless you. And it's so important, because there's a deliberate remark we can make saying, Lord, just stay out of this. I can't feel you. I can't see you. I can't hear you. Now I'm angry with you. So I'm just going to go my own way.
Excuse me, just a second. Do we have the audio back? One of our Facebook messengers said we'd lost it. We're back.
Oh, sorry.
Well, thank you, Monique, for letting us know what's going on here.
Thank you.
Very good. Check your self-talk. Listen to yourself.
Yes.
Check your motives. Mm-hmm. It seems very obvious that Elijah has rehearsed this speech mm-hmm. over and over and over again. And of course, his little thing makes him look good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Superman and everybody else.
Right.
And I love God's response, a gentle whisper.
Yes.
Let yourself be in a place of correctability.
Yes.
And the only way you're going to get there is if you drop the complaint mm-hmm. for a minute mm-hmm. and get quiet.
Yes.
And in verse 15, the Lord says, go back the way you came.
Mm.
Oh, maybe that's not what we were looking forward to hear.
Oh, yeah. I think that's why some of us don't want to still ourselves.
Oh, my gosh. Go back the way you came.
Oh, yeah.
But the word of God, God's word in yes. that situation healed him and protected his mental health. Now, I'm not saying go back to an abusive marriage, go back to a job that you were mistreated and overlooked. No,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But if you can mentally revisit it with the Lord.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Sit, be quiet, go back. Okay, what lessons did I learn from that experience?
Right.
All right, it was lousy, but did I get any benefits
from it?
Mm-hmm. You had a lousy first marriage, but you got an adorable firstborn.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's let God balance the scales.
Yes.
You know, God
yes.
says, go back. But God gives him a mission. Hey, go anoint this guy. Go anoint this person.
Mm-hmm.
He's not disqualified.
It's
no, not over.
Absolutely
His ministry
not.
Is going to continue.
Yes.
I love that Peter was not disqualified. He denies the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But his leadership and commission was still in effect.
Yes.
And go anoint an apprentice.
Yes.
Oh, how different is it when we're hanging around and then we've got someone in our kitchen? Like someone comes over and they want us to teach them something.
Yeah.
We go into teacher mode.
Yeah.
And it's good for us.
It is. It really is.
It's good for us to have someone around to know that someone's watching.
Mm-hmm.
And then God says to him, hey, I've reserved 7,000 people in Israel whose knees have not bowed to Baal. You are, no matter how alone you feel, you're not alone. You know, there is community. Where are you going to find it? Not on the TV.
Right.
Go to church.
Yes. Yes.
Get off the phone and
yes.
go to church.
Yeah. Be a part of something where God's presence is moving there. It's important. It's so important. You know, we can just live so much inside of ourselves. And I really love what you said about going back mentally, because God has something to say about it. And once you have stopped saying what you have to say, then God can say something, you know. And we were talking, Michelle, before the show, just about how much when we are holding a grudge, or when we are not forgiving someone, or maybe it's not even forgiving ourselves, it can really block our growth in God.
Yes.
And it's not so much justifying what the person did, or even saying, you're okay with it. It's just saying you're willingly trying to apply God to the situation instead of having that replay go again and again in yes. your mind and have these angry feelings rise up and dominate you.
Very good.
And, you know, we see an illustration of that even in Genesis 50 with Joseph and his brothers. I was telling you, God spoke so clearly and it really moved me, because I thought, oh my gosh, I need to repent, you know. But when his brothers had first seen him, of course, they're thinking like, this guy is going to have it out for us and we deserve it. But he had mercy. He did forgive them. But there was always this secret belief inside of their heart that that forgiveness was attached to something, and that something was their dad, Jacob.
Sure.
And this whole time they're thinking, okay, so he said he forgave us, but when dad is not here anymore, that's when we're really going to get it. And I thought, man, you know, is that how we can forgive sometimes? Attached to, well, this person, I want to impress them, or I don't want them to think lowly of me, so I'm going to say that I forgive them. I'm going to seem like I forgive them, but really my heart is completely guarded towards rebuilding a relationship with them. And that was the whole concern that they had when they went before him trembling after Jacob died, you know, saying, Dad said, forgive us. You know, that was his last commandment. Dad said, forgive us, you know. And it's amazing to me, because Joseph's response was that he cried, because his forgiveness was so genuine. It was from the heart of God. But there was such a mistrust there anyway, because I think we have a hard time even believing in the reality of God's forgiveness sometimes as believers. We can have the right rhetoric. We can have the verses that we know. But do we really believe when God forgives us that he really, truly lets it go and loves us beyond that mistake? Because that's not how a lot of people forgive. And I think that that's why we can be so guarded about it, you know. But genuine forgiveness is a freedom in the mind.
That's amazing.
It's a mental freedom in the mind and in the heart.
Amazing. That's beautiful. That brings me to the point I wanted to talk about, that 2 Samuel 15, Ahithophel, one of David's most trusted advisors. Mm-hmm. Now, this is David. He's king. He's in Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. They said about Ahithophel, when you went to him, it was like hearing from God. And yet he takes Absalom's side in the revolt against David. And he had practical wisdom on how to defeat David after that coup. And it was blocked. Wow. God let Hushai go back. And Hushai, if you read, he appeals to Absalom's vanity. You know, oh, do this, you'll look so good. But he also appealed to his fear of his father.
Yes.
He mentioned several times, your dad is like a bear. He's got all these mighty men, you know. And so Ahithophel's advice, which would have won the day, was ignored.
Wow.
And they took Hushai's advice, which spared David's life. What was Ahithophel's next step? He went home, put his affairs in order, and hanged himself.
Wow.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. What is this? What leads you to this? Well, the scripture tells us he's Bathsheba's grandfather. Apparently, he had held a personal grudge.
Wow.
He had pretended he had gotten himself close to King David and stayed there. But after that illicit affair, apparently something, and we get it.
Right.
We get it. Right. That was his granddaughter. That was his baby. And this much older guy, he's way older than Bathsheba, you know, takes her, kills her husband.
Right.
and the death of their first child, her first child, not David's, hers.
Wow.
So, yeah, we can be heartbroken for people, but God had forgiven David.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The nation had forgiven David. Mm-hmm. The mighty men who saw all this happen had forgiven David. Mm. Bathsheba herself. They go on to have several more children and a beautiful, apparently a beautiful marriage, but not Ahithophel. His unforgiveness festered into a murderous intent, and then he turned it on himself.
My God.
Suicide.
Wow.
Very heartbroken.
Yeah. And you know, I think that this is like an area to be so tender about. You know, it's very easy to take one side and point a finger. And then when we actually have the mind of God, really thinking about what does he say about the brokenhearted? I stay close to them. You know, we need the word of God and the fellowship of God to get us out of these dark places mentally.
Yes.
And that's the only thing that can really. Now, like you said originally, Michelle, when there is a chemical imbalance, of course, if you need medication to help you get to a place where you can pray and you can fellowship and you can really receive the word of God because that's just part of your mental design, then that's different.
Or your physical design affecting your mental.
Right, because there's so many different ways. I don't know how your body is designed, and I am not God. So for me to come into the judgment seat and say, because I don't struggle like you, I'm going to say you shouldn't be struggling like this. Mm. Terribly judgmental.
Yes.
Terribly. And God is not looking and saying, why aren't you delivering? He's saying, I want to have a ministry right into that portion of yourself that is speaking louder than me right now. And it's amazing how much, like you said, when we allow God's voice to be there, when we can really believe in what he's saying beyond how we're feeling, then that is a different way of us really being active in our ministry to each other. Because God knows you're kind of taking a chance on him in a different way.
Yes.
When you're saying, I'm lifting this up to you, Lord, this thing I'm very ashamed of. Maybe some people even know I struggle with it. I know the degrees to which I've struggled with it. And it's such an internal battle. But there are people in the Bible that we see Job who struggles with, you know, a lot of mental burden. Like you said, we see David, you know, we see so many people that have had a continuous walk with God also battle this. And that really, and Jonah as well. Yes, we can be free saying, okay, this is something that is a part of me and God does not look down on me for it.
So good. Does the Bible say that it's okay not to be okay?
Mm.
Well, life happens.
Yes.
All right. Trauma, disappointment, being overwhelmed, being scarred. But think about the scars of Christ. We know his hands, his feet, his side. He rose on that glorious resurrection morning, still bearing his scars. He could have erased all trace of them. You know, he left behind the grave clothes.
Yes.
He did not leave behind the scars. The scars became the very proof to his friends that he was alive. They became his, I don't know what you call it, credentials.
Okay.
That he was indeed the risen Christ.
Wow.
How am I saying this? Well, it's John 20, verses 19 and 20, when he appears to them. Jesus came, stood among them, and said to them, peace be with you. Having said this, he showed them his hands and his side. So the disciples rejoiced.
Yes.
Seeing his scars was a rejoicing. Okay. Today we've looked at an insecure king. Poor Saul, an overwhelmed prophet, poor Elijah, a very bitter counselor, Ahithophel. And Ahithophel completely breaks my heart because if he had not done that, he would have seen Bathsheba give birth to Solomon.
Oh, yeah.
And then maybe he would have lived long enough to see Solomon become king.
Wow.
That would have been his flesh and blood.
Yes.
Solomon would have been his great-grandson, be king.
Yes.
And he threw away the opportunity for redemption. Don't do that.
Yeah. You know, that's the power in having a narrow vision. It's so hopeless. You know, it tells you that this is it. There is nothing beyond this. Don't believe God in a way that makes you that vulnerable. You really should take matters into your own hands, you know? And it's just such a lie, Michelle, but lies are so loud when we are in places of despair.
Sure.
You know, there was even an article that I read by, it's an organization called Multiplied Mercy. And the lady who founded it, she worked for years with all these women in correctional facilities and all the government programs and classes that she would be referring them to and hearing updates about. They were not enough to change these women's lives. She said, it wasn't until I started sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ that I saw permanent transformation in these women's lives.
Beautiful.
And I was ready to step down when I had this evidence right in front of me that the things that man has made, yes, they can be helpful, but only God can reach down into the depths and transform and renew hope and restore and revive. And thank God he can, because we have access to him. If we always learned about a God that was completely unapproachable, then yes, that is a very hopeless situation. But I love what you're saying. You have to ask God, if there is a plan for me, and I know that there is in a portion of myself, but there are doubts in me in another portion of myself, please, Lord, minister to me in these wounds, in these scars, because they are running my life. Sure. They are running my thoughts.
Sure. Ahithophel, unfortunately, was a wonderful counselor to everyone but himself. Mm-hmm. He let that incident that scarred him, and we get it, we understand,
yes,
but he let it define him.
Mm-hmm.
And he closed the door to deliverance.
Wow.
We just encourage you, if you have scars, don't hide them.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
If you think that your battle with mental illness will disqualify you from ministry or love, mm-hmm. no, it does not. Mm-hmm. Our scars are proof that God heals.
Yes.
They're no longer open wounds. They're places of grace where mm-hmm. God knit things back together.
Yes.
Christ has chosen to live eternally with his scars. Mm. So why should we be ashamed to show ours?
Wow, I love that.
Now, scars can be internal or external, mm-hmm. but we know that God can do beautiful things.
Yes.
He brings beauty from ashes if we will let him.
Mm-hmm.
Will you allow God to tell his story through your scars?
Yes. Yes. And, you know, we even think about the example of Jesus himself, you know, experiencing so much anguish. You know, he actually understood what he was about to go through, you know, in a way that we can't, because he wasn't limited. He was a direct connect with the God himself. So thinking about all that he's about to go through and just that heavy burden on him. And in the end, he still said, Lord, not my will, but yours. And I think that's very key in a lot of what we're both talking about, Michelle. When you go through pain, when you go through hardship, when your whole concept is completely shattered, there is purpose in it. God is not just allowing that to happen because he likes cruelty or he wants to see how much you can take. These are the things that people in our flesh are constantly telling us. He doesn't really love you. You don't really have a chance. Only weak people believe in this. You know, like your mind can totally work against you when it's functioning in projection and high emotion. And it's very important for us to remember everything that we go through is because Christ is saying, I am molding you to be more like me.
Beautiful.
And that means that some of my experiences, only little portions of them, but some of my experiences, we're going to start having in common. If you really want to grow into someone who's more like me, then we have to be able to relate to each other. It cannot just be that high mountain that you were talking about for Elijah. It has to be, where do I go when I'm in the valley? You know?
Excellent.
And that's okay, because when it's all said and done, when we close our eyes and go to heaven, I think we'll actually feel more secure saying, because it was not so easy all of the time, and because I met God in these places and he became so much more real to me through these hardships, I can know that I'm about to go be in his arms and be at peace with that.
So good. You know, I'm glad you brought up Gethsemane. It's really the pivotal point mm-hmm. of mental anguish.
Yes.
To the point that it had a physical manifestation,
yes.
The drops of blood.
Mm-hmm.
So even Christ shows us that it can be overwhelming.
Yes.
Life can be overwhelming.
Yes.
In Psalm 23, verse 4, it says, I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Mm-hmm. Often it's just a shadow, and it is lifted from us, and we don't die.
Yes, yes.
But for Christ, it was not a shadow.
Right.
You know, it was the foretelling. He knew.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he knew. But I love the last part of Psalm 23. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Yes, amen.
We're really encouraging you, our audience,
yes.
Whether you're listening live or this is an archive that you're listening to, dwell in the house of the Lord.
Yes, yes. You know, I remember also, Michelle, when we were talking just about how, what does it look like practically to keep going when you are so discouraged? And inside of this devotional, I remember Corrie ten Boom just really thinking about a vision of Paul that God placed on her heart when she was suffering in prison herself. And she said, you know, God just showed me this picture of Paul sitting in prison, his hands shackled, his feet shackled to guards, and he had no idea what was going to happen to him moment to moment, day by day. And the next thing she said, it really, really floored me. She said, but he stepped into God's freedom.
Oh.
He stepped into God's freedom while he was imprisoned. And because he did that, he was able to do something extraordinary. He wrote Colossians. He wrote so many books of the Bible that we are still reading today. And that is such evidence to us that there is something supernatural working in us. And we do have an ability, a supernatural ability. It's not something that's going to make sense to us all the time. But how many times have we said, you know what? I felt terrible all week. And then I just started really reading my Bible and not doing anything else. I didn't let anything else distract me. I didn't pull away. Even if there was something that was hard for me to receive, I still just kept reaching out to God. There's such healing power there. There's such strength there. There's such supernatural ability there. And you know what? I think we're all shackled to something.
Sure.
Something
sure.
is saying, don't trust God to this degree.
Sure.
And that is definitely a battle for us and our mental health a lot as believers. But I love that picture of God stepping into God's freedom while he was shackled. Nothing about the circumstances changed, but it was like he was reminding himself and calling upon God, Lord, work through me as I'm in this valley so that my mind is stayed on you as best it can be. And we have these wonderful books, you know, that came out of God's supernatural power working through him. And that same power, just like that same resurrection power, lives in us even when it does not feel like it.
Beautiful. Well, we invite you listeners to catch the rest of the series. The rest of this week, seeing how a church can become a sanctuary, a place where individuals living with mental health challenges could feel safe, supported, and have a sense of belonging.
Yes.
Join us tomorrow.
Yes. It was so wonderful to be here with you, Michelle. You know, I just think we have to remember the hope that Christ has for us, the hope he wants to share for us. It's real and it's available. And whether we're the one battling the mental health issue or we know someone who is, by inviting him through prayer, by inviting him through scripture, we can always bless the situation that we're in and trust him for the unknown and trust him for the transformation power that only he has.
Beautiful.
Amen. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining us today. God bless you. And until next time, we will see you in service or hopefully bump into you another way, encouraging you to hold on to everything about God and his future for you and the hope that we all have in Christ Jesus. Love you guys. See you next time.
Bye.